for your presence in this place. We thank you, Lord, that you've made a way for us to come boldly into your presence, Lord. Even as the rain is coming down outside, Lord, we just recognize your hand of blessing upon us, Lord, your hand of grace, and that your rain falls on the just and the unjust, Lord. And this evening we thank you that even as we come together in your presence, God, we know that you are with us in this place. Holy Spirit, that you are here, and that we can come with an expectation to meet with you, Lord. Come with an expectation to be transformed in your presence, God, by the power of your Spirit at work in and through our lives, Lord. As we come and submit to your word, Holy Spirit, we thank you that you breathe on it and you make it alive in us. You make it real in us, and that you make it part of us, God, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Okay. Very good. As I said, Abigail is almost turning one. It's really crazy. It's been very quick this year. And so now we are in the season of first birthday parties, which is something new to me. You know how big this is? This is amazing. To be honest, I don't remember my first birthday party. I don't know if many do. But apparently it's a very big thing. It's very important. And I acknowledge, because it's Abigail's birthday, it's very important. Okay, so yes, I see that where it's coming from. But so we get these little invitations coming through. And you can see there's a lot of effort that's gone into these things. Invitations are always cool to receive. I don't mind you, I love, especially those that come in the post. Talking about the mail, the Royal Mail is just one of those cool things I enjoy. I've only had one bad experience with the Royal Mail. But the other day, this has got nothing to do with the sermon, okay? You won't believe it. I received it's not a cake. It's like a tart. You know what I'm? It's like a tart thing with a filling in the mail. No? I'm not joking. This is the truth. You can ask Adana. We got this part. They got the slip in the door that said you have to collect the parcel, and we went to collect it, and it was a tart. And it wasn't from, like, down the street. It was from Switzerland. Hey, amazing. It's one of those that last a long time, okay? But it's still, I can say I got a baked goods in the post from overseas. It's a new thing for me. But so we get some invitations we get by mail. Otherwise, these days you get them by text. You get them on Facebook, invite to some event, and some of them are such random events. If you haven't heard of this guy since primary school, and now he's inviting you to all these funny events in Australia. So that happens as well. And you get all kinds of different, you get the personalized ones, then you get the random ones that, you know, this guy has just sent this email to as many people as possible, and he's hoping somebody pitches for his barbecue or something, like this spam invitation. But then the very cool ones, I've had one or two of those. You can see this thing costs money, this invitation. There's effort been put into it. It's not a random one. Your name is on it. I once got an invitation. It was a box, a little flat box like this. Okay? And it was beautiful, beautiful box. And then it had like this thing around it, and you had to get it off. I think it was like a sleeve thing, and you had to get it off. And then inside there was like sea stuff, like sand and shells and beautiful little things. It was a wedding invitation, and inside there was also like a little card thing and beautifully printed. The wedding was on the beach, okay? So beautifully done. I couldn't go. It was when I was a student. I was writing exams, bummer. But in any case, so the other day, I got this invitation. And this is the one that kind of, you know, of all the amazing invitations I've received, this one is kind of way beyond all the cool ones. Actually, I should have brought it, but it's you know, I've got the words here. I'll read them to you a bit later. But, you know, I always sometimes joke about going to visit the Queen. You know, you go past Buckingham Palace and you see the flags up, and you think, okay, cool, we'll just pop in for tea. But this is even, this is way beyond that. If you imagine you get an invitation from the Queen. This is one of those that it's got a, like a, it was like in a parcel, and then there's like, you know, imagine those ones that have the outer package, like a beautiful little box, and then on it is your name. It's like embossed. It's like really expensive. You can see this is amazing. And my name on it, personalized, not a random. You know, you get in the letter, in the mail, you get this, the current homeowner or current home, whatever, occupier. You feel so special. You know, these people know you. They they have got something for me. No, any case. So this one's got my name, and then you open it, and you think, when you're opening, you think, maybe there was a mistake. This is too fancy. This looks too amazing. Maybe this is a mistake. I open it now, and then the inner envelope, just as beautifully intricate little gold embossment, trickies everywhere, and then my name again. So there's, it seems like we're still could be real. And then sure as anything, this invitation inside blowed my mind. And I was wondering whether I should share what it was about, but I'm concerned about envy. But is it a problem? No, not really a problem. Because I was concerned that you guys are going to feel bad that he didn't get this cool invitation. is it going to be a problem? Okay, now, listen, no, don't worry about it. I'll start with a sermon, and but this, let me just tell you, that was the most amazing one ever. Should you want to know what it was? Okay, but please don't be mad. Let me get you the wording here. I got it here. You won't believe this. The Queen, Nelson Mandela, America, you know, you've somehow dream about meeting amazing, famous people. Way beyond this, okay? By the way, I really respect the Queen. Okay, don't get me wrong. I'd love to have tea with her one day. Okay, dear Yaku. Right, me right there. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If you hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and dine with you and you with me. Now, some of you are... That is the most amazing invitation that I've ever received. And this is not only an incredible invitation because of what it invites me to, but more importantly, where it's coming from and who it's coming from. And the amazing thing about this, which makes it incredible and unthinkable almost, is not only who it's coming from, but yes, it is almost a universal invitation. Okay, so everybody's included. But if we look at the original audience, who it was intended to, we kind of get a more of an idea of the heart of God behind it and the purpose of it. So I'm going to read us a bit of context to see what's happening here in this situation and who this amazing invitation is addressed to. So I'm going to read this out of a different... This first bit was almost the New King James with Yaku in there, and then I'm going to read from a different translation, from verse 14. Write this letter to the angel of the church in Laodicea. This is the message from the one who is the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of God's new creation. I know all the things you do, that you are neither hot nor cold. Sorry. I don't know if I've lost power, but this has died. Let me read from there. That you are neither hot nor cold. I wish that you were one or the other. But since you are like lukewarm water, neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. You say I'm rich, I have everything I want. I don't need a thing.
and you don't realize that you are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. So I advise you to buy gold from me, gold that has been purified by fire. Then you will be rich. Also buy white garments from me so that you will not be ashamed by your nakedness, and an ointment for your eyes so you will be able to see. I correct and I discipline everyone I love. So be diligent and turn from your indifference. Look, I stand at the door and I knock. If you hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and we will share a meal together as friends. Those who are victorious will sit with me on my throne, just as I was victorious and sat with my Father on his throne.
Okay, we've got life here again, so let's try again. Great. Sorry. I'm going to quickly look at a few points from this scripture, and I'm going to lift out one or two things just to give us an idea who this is addressed to. You know, a while ago I shared the story of my friend Nompaliso, who was on outreach with us, and I'm just going to share it again, so bear with me if you've heard it. But we went on a tour, an outreach tour around the borders of South Africa, traveling we were following the same route as the cyclists did that were praying. Two of the years I was cycling, and then this 2 years I was doing the outreach bit. So there was this lady with us on the team, a Khoza lady, Nompaliso, and amazing lady. She looked, we were like a bunch of students, you know, I'd go 6 weeks on the road, it's quite tough. And she was already in her 40s, she already had children, and nobody noticed this until about halfway through, because she doesn't look over 30, but in any case. So Nompi, she used to preach when we got to the Khoza areas where everybody spoke Khoza. And she preached with such passion. It always stirred me. You could really feel your spirit getting excited, although I didn't have a clue what she was saying. And then at one stage, always in a message, I think she had a sort of a kind of a standard salvation message probably. And there was at one stage always in a little bit that she got very passionate and very excited. And then she would go 50-50. And you could see, I don't know if she, at one stage she was almost like angry at the people, you know, excited and, you know, very serious about what she was saying. And after a few of these, I got really curious about the 50-50 bit, because it's the only bit that I could understand. She used English there. So I kind of asked her one day, Nompi, that little bit, because the response was always amazing, you know, the people got saved, and there was really an anointing on her preaching. And she said that that's the bit where she explains that you cannot be 50-50. You cannot stand with one foot in the world and one foot in the kingdom of God. You cannot, and that's exactly where these guys are at. You cannot follow the world with one half of you and follow God with the other half. You cannot serve two masters, as Jesus also says. And she used to get very excited about that and very passionate because of the, often in those cultures that we were ministering to in those areas, there was the whole thing between the tradition and the ancestral worship, and then people wanted to kind of combine that with Christianity and worshiping God. And she was kind of making it very clear. There's no middle ground here. There's no a little bit of that and a little bit of this. No many roads lead to Rome type of thing. And this is exactly where these guys are at. God is, you know, this letter is being written to them, and he's saying to them, you need to make a decision. I would rather have you cold. I would rather have you turn away from me completely and go in an opposite direction than this in the middle, in between, a bit of this and a bit of that thing, this lukewarm thing. And this is one of those scriptures that you almost feel, wow, this is harsh. It's one of those where you feel, this, you know, some of the other translations talk about, I will vomit you out of my mouth. So you're like, oh, you know, that's quite a descriptive word, if you know what I'm saying. But then we see at the same time, we see that obviously the Lord's not pleased with it, because this is a church he's writing to. Okay? This is a congregation of people. And he's saying, this is not good. And then he goes on, he says, the riches and the things that you are pursuing in the world are not eternal. I've got riches and I've got eternal
blessings that I want to bless you with that you can come and get from me, but that stuff that you're pursuing at the moment is not going to mean anything to anybody in the long run. And then, but then he very powerfully he goes to and he kind of explains. He says, I correct and discipline everyone I love. So be diligent and turn from your indifference. So he encourages them. He says, listen, the reason why I have to give you this difficult message is because I love you. And I discipline those that I love, and I chasten those I love. And then he comes to this very amazing invitation, and he says, I stand at the door and I knock. And there's a very famous, there's a famous painting of this scripture. I can't remember the painter. But Nika Gumbel mentions it in the Alpha book. And the painting is obviously of Jesus at the door, knocking. And then a lot of detail and symbolism around the door. But one very key thing about the door is that there's no handle on the outside. There's no door handle. And the message that you're getting is that the handle is on the inside. And that there's no way that Christ can force himself in. He won't ever. He can't open the door from the outside. We have to let him in. And very powerful just the depiction of this specific thing. But then, let's look at we see the heart of the Father coming through here. We see the heart of the Father saying, listen, this is not a good place that you're in. And I want to bring it to a place of abundance. I want to restore this. This lukewarm thing is not going to be a blessing. I want to bring you back from that. And then he says, then he brings this incredible invitation. So we see the heart of the Father. We see this congregation. And I suppose we can bring this across to all of us. And, you know, like I said, it's almost a universal invitation. Even if you don't know God, this is for you. It shows the heart of the Father toward the people, saying, I want to come in, but you're going to have to let me in. You're going to have to make a decision. You're going to have to make a choice. So I'm going to look at a few points of what is he inviting them to? How does this invitation work? And I'm going to firstly say what it's not. Okay? You know, sometimes when you drop somebody off at their home or you kind of happen to get to somebody's house and, you know, unexpectedly. People are always, you know, sometimes people are like, I'm sorry, excuse the mess type of thing, you know, and it's like, I always think, but yeah, I didn't know that people lived in this house, you know, everything should be perfect. And it's like that with us as well, you know, I think if it wasn't for Erna, people wouldn't feel very welcome in our house. She's got an amazing hosting gift. But I think sometimes when, you know, people receive guests, they are very tense about getting things perfect. I don't know if you guys are like that. But this is not like that, okay? We can't fix everything before we invite Jesus in. In fact, this is different. You know, God basically saying, listen, I want you to leave it just as it is. Because you're just going to mess it up more. Your life, your situation, whatever. But I need you to, you know, part of this deal, this dinner deal, this dining together, is I bring my team and we fix everything. I give you new life. I restore, I heal. But you need to invite me in. And you can't fix it on your own. You can't try and fix it and make it look nice before we invite Jesus in. Are you with me still? You know, it reminds me of when I was doing military training. The basic training, we had this thing called inspection. And, you know, especially at the beginning, you do everything that you know. You iron through the night, you polish buttons, you do everything. And you know, when you're standing next to your bed at attention, and the guy, whether it's the instructor or the officer, whoever comes in to inspect, when he comes in, you know he will find something wrong. You just know it. Because they will look until they find something. Yeah, so it's kind of bittersweet. You know you've worked hard. You know everything looks amazing, but you know something's going to be wrong. And I remember the one time we had what we call an officer's inspection. So the commanding officer would come around. So this is very serious, you know. So we spark, you work late, almost through the night. You don't get any sleep. Everything is absolutely perfect. And I remember it was like early in the morning, like already in midnight somewhere. I was busy. I had already done the shoes like mirrors. Seriously. Okay, we knew what we were doing at that stage. Okay, you could see your face in them. So those are perfect. Everything was, you know, clothes were, I think we were almost there. It was like the last bit. I was doing the buttons. Brasso, you know, Brasso, the buttons. I don't know if you know how Brasso works, but you have to shake it. You have to kind of make sure it's mixed up properly. So I was busy with the buttons. I got distracted with something else, and then I came back to the buttons, and I forgot that I'd already taken the cap off. Brasso. So I went and I shook like vigorously. As it says there, shake vigorously. And I shook vigorously and Brasso went everywhere. Praise the Lord. It didn't go into my neighbor's property. It stayed within my 1.5 meters because we were very cozy where we were staying. But it covered, some of it went on my shoes. Bad, bad, bad. It took me the rest of the night to fix the shoes because obviously it's got a corrosive quality. Anyway, you can imagine it was a mess. But didn't really sleep that night. But some of us feel like that. When we hear this invitation, God wants to come and visit. And we feel, oh my goodness, I have to fix everything. I have to get ready. And we feel this kind of a fear of failure. We feel that God is this big instructor coming in. He's going to find fault no matter what you do. He's a critical guy, and he's going to put on his white glove and he's going to stick his hand there when the sun never shines, and he's going to find something that's going to be an embarrassment. But it's not like that. Let me tell you, when Jesus extends this invitation, he says, leave it just like it is. Don't try and fix it. I will help you. I will fix it. I will empower you by the Spirit. Let's read from Hebrews 4 to the kind of heart that God has for us in that kind of situation. Hebrews 4 verse 14. Seeing that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast of our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So this is what we can expect when we invite Christ. This is what we can expect when we approach the throne of grace. Not criticism, not this instructor, scary guy that's going to catch you out. Not somebody that's out to find whatever is wrong. We boldly come to the throne of grace because of the work that Christ has done, and we obtain mercy and we find grace to help in time of need. So I want to just throw that out there, that this is not an inspection. This is Christ saying, I want to come in, and I come with grace and I come with mercy. And we look at those two things, and it's amazing in English how they distinguish so nicely between them. Do you know the difference between grace and mercy? I'm going to say it in a case. Mercy means that we don't get what we deserve. Okay? Grace means we get what we don't deserve. So mercy means that what we do deserve is the judgment of God and the wrath of God and the punishment for our sin, mercy means we don't get what we deserve, and God doesn't withhold it, but He's put it on Christ. So Jesus has taken that on our behalf. That's what mercy means. So although yes, I am a sinner, and yes, I do deserve the wrath of God, and yes, I do deserve the judgment of God, God withholds what I deserve, and Christ has taken it on my behalf. Okay, grace, on the other hand, now that I'm okay with God because of Jesus taking the punishment on our behalf. Grace means that God gives us abundant life, relationship. We get relationship with God. We have eternal life, incredible abundance, like Jesus says, I've come that you may have life in abundance. And that we receive from God, although we do not deserve it. So that's what grace is. Does that make sense? And this is what we expect. This is what we can expect when Jesus says, I want to come in. I want to come in. Let me in. When he's knocking on the door. The second thing there is he invites us to a meal. Now, in those times, in that cultural context, a meal is not just a random pick up a takeaway on the way home and then maybe your neighbor joins you or not. A meal was a serious thing and it was a bit of a process, and you wouldn't just invite anybody for a meal. So this is a very intimate invitation. This means either you are very good friends or that somebody wants to establish that kind of intimate relationship. So immediately we see this is not a fly-by-night random encounter. This is I want to come and eat with you. This is an invitation to an intimate relationship. And if I kind of drag the queen into this again, since this is the Jubilee year and everything, I've learned quite a lot about the queen this year. And I watched the documentary or two. Very interesting, I must say. Learned quite a bit. And although now I've acquired a bit of knowledge about, don't ask me about the dates. Dates are always a problem in history. But although I've acquired some information, I have not yet met the queen. So often many of us come from a background where we know a lot about God. We've heard stuff. We've acquired knowledge. We've read about. But this invitation is to come from a point of, yes, you might know something of or about, but now this invitation is to an intimate relationship where we sit down and have a meal together, where we have a conversation. Which takes me to the next point. It's not only an invitation to the meal, it's interesting how he puts it. I'm going to read that first slide again in the New King James. Let's see how he puts it here. He says, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him. And I don't you agree that he could have ended it there, that specific sentence? I will come in to him and dine with him. But then he adds, he says, and he with me. And I believe it's there for a reason, and that's that partly because this relationship is not a one-sided relationship. You know, I don't know how often it happens, but sometimes you have this experience where after a few years of phoning on birthdays and inviting somebody and kind of making a lot of effort from your side, you look at your phone book, your log, and on your smartphone, and you see all the communication with this person is going out. There's no communication coming that way. Huh? Never happened to you. Okay, but you get this feeling, and you kind of realize, okay, maybe this person isn't so interested in this friendship after all. But in this case, this only works when it's going both ways. And Christ says, I want to come and dine with you and you with me. So there's a place where we want to sit down and we want to have an intimate relationship. And I want to share with you what's on my heart, and I want you to share what's on your heart. So there's a reciprocation that happens. There's a give and take. And in our case, in terms of what God has done for us to be able to have this relationship, in terms of the cross and Christ dying on the cross for us, obviously the extent to which God has gone to actually get us to this place that we can have a relationship with him means that his part in it is huge and ours is small. Okay, we get that. But we still need to let him in. We still need to open the door. We need to invite him in so that we can come to this point of intimacy. Are you still with me tonight? Okay, so we come from knowing things and having information, and we come to a point of having an intimate two-way relationship with the living God and the living Father. And then we see another thing happening here. Okay, so it's not an inspection. We don't have to feel exposed. When Christ comes, when God comes into our lives, there's this place of safety, there's a place of security, there's a place of covering, there's grace, there's mercy, and there's peace when He comes in. I'm going to skip the Matthew one, okay? And then we see this incredible invitation, and it's something we miss sometimes. This is the invitation we've mentioned, but then there's another bit there that we often miss. And I'm going to quickly point that out to you. I'm going to read 20 and 21 again. "Look, I stand at the door and knock. If you hear my voice and open the door, I will come in, and we will share a meal together as friends." Under a different translation, "We will share a meal together as friends." Talks about that intimacy. And then he says there, now see this, "Those who are victorious will sit with me on my throne, just as I was victorious and I sat with my Father on his throne." Did you get that? And another translation says, for him who overcomes, I will grant that he will sit on a throne." Is that amazing? That the King of the universe is coming from the point of saying, "Yes, I know you nowhere because you're lukewarm. You're trying to sit on the fence here. And I want to help you to get this right." And then he says, "I want to come in and have this intimate relationship with you." And then he says, "Those that endure, those that stick it through, those that overcome, I will grant that you will sit on the throne with me." In other words, a place of authority, a place of partnership. But look at this invitation. "Those that are victorious, I will grant that you will sit on my throne. Sit with me on my throne." Powerful, powerful invitation right there. And if there's anything to encourage us tonight as believers to overcome and to press through and to endure and to be victorious, it's this. I mean, is there a more glorious invitation than the King of Kings saying, I want to invite you to this place of right here with me on my throne." Amazing. Can go on about that for days. So we see this amazing place where he ends with this invitation. He says, "For those who are victorious, for he that overcomes, he will sit with me on the throne." That partnership, that place of authority, the place of intimacy. And then, as I've called this sermon, RSVP, you know the RSVP bit at the bottom. What is it in French? As far as I know, it basically means please respond, right? And then it gives you how to respond. It gives you detail. Dress code, what date you must respond by. Another thing that since I got married, I'm getting right. I don't know if it's getting right. This whole respond thing is very cool. And but you know how these invitations go. It tells you what you must wear. Some say you must wear something that starts with a P. You know, these funny birthday parties we used to have. Or you have to dress up, or you have to wear fancy dress, or, you know, hat, or, you know, this black tie thing. And then you come with your black tie, and everybody's wearing bow ties. Have you had that? And you're like, okay, you only make that mistake once. But in any case, so, you know, people have specific dress codes. This is how you do it. Or there's a theme. Now, I remember we had a friend of mine at a birthday party once. And the theme was dress like somebody who inspires you. Okay, so my friend and I, Rick, we were flatmates at the time. He's now the pastor there in Ipadle. And we decided, I think it was something to do between somebody that's reasonably inspirational and the materials that we had to our disposal. Okay, you have to kind of work with what you have, type of thing. You know? And then we ended up coming up with Braveheart. Okay, William Wallace. We were going to dress up like William Wallace. Okay, so he's kind of a reasonably inspirational type of guy. But we also, for some reason, I don't know why, I think Rick had something going on at the youth at that stage, we had this Braveheart stuff. Okay, so we had wigs, proper long, you know, serious hair. And we had tartan, and we had paint, blue paint and white paint. And we went all out. It was quite scary. We had swords, everything.
And we would all of this, and we had to do all of this trouble. And then the day, or like a day before the party, we got a message, abort, cancel, the theme is off. Just come normal. Okay? And we were like, ah, no way. And we were like all psyched up. You know, amazing. Long story. In any case, so we decided we're going to ignore this instruction, and we're just going to pretend we didn't get it. And it was a lot of fun. I remember on the way there, we stopped at a few traffic lights, and the people kind of rushed away, almost very scared because of these guys. In any case, the look on the guy's face when he opened the door obviously was priceless, because he's a very conscientious guy, very made sure everybody gets the message, and he obviously thought we hadn't. But a lot of fun. But every invitation has this. It says, please respond. And it tells you how you should respond. And it tells you if what protocol is required for you, whether you need to wear a hat or whatever. And, you know, coming back to the Queen, I've been told that if you do get an invitation to meet the Queen, that there's somebody that meets with you before and preps you. Tells you exactly what you should do, what you shouldn't do, how you should address her. And for the ladies, they have to do this thing with their foot. I don't know how it works. There's like a curtsy thing, right? And the men, I think there's like a bow thing you have to do. I'm not exactly sure how it works, but these specific things need to happen. And it's the same with God. Funny thing is, when the Queen gives us protocol, we're fine. We're fine with that, no problem. If some rich guy invites us, or the president, and he tells us, come like this and wear a tie, no problem. But if God says, this is the way I want you to approach me, people go, no, I'm doing it my way. How does it, Frank Sinatra thing go? This is the way I want to do it. I feel comfortable like this. And I know there's a place for that, guys, but there's also a place where we approach the King of Kings in a way that he directs us to do. And I'm not going to go into that for very long. But the basic yarn here is Jesus saying, he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one can come to the Father except through me. The only way, the only avenue that we can get to the Father too is through Christ. The only way we can approach him is in the name of Jesus. The only way we can get to him is through the work that Christ has done for us, and through the door that he has opened for us. Even though you're a mega Christian and you are already at the highest level of holiness, there's still only one way that we come into his presence. There's only one way that we can approach him. And that's through the perfect work of Christ that he's made this new and living way for us. And even as that scripture we read before, it's because of that that we can boldly come, approach the throne of grace with boldness. And then, but even, I can't go into this a lot, but maybe this, for somebody here, that there's a few things that God wants, that in his word, he gives us tips, gives us pointers. He says, this is the way you should come. This is the way you should approach me. And I've often felt a lot of frustration when praying and seeking God about something. And at one stage, what the Lord did tell me, because I wasn't getting a lot of feedback, it felt to me like I wasn't getting anything. But what I did hear is, you're asking the wrong question. And I want to throw that out there, that often we experience frustration in our walk with God, frustration in hearing from God, and it's because we're asking the wrong question. So I don't know if that's for somebody here tonight, but ask God to help you by the Spirit to ask the right question, to approach him in a way that is firstly in line with of the Word, but also in terms of, you know, the order that God has put out there for us. Okay. But if you please stand with me tonight, we're just going to pray together. And just God, just for a shift here, please stand.